Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
God bless you. Welcome back to the family of God, and thank you for listening to this CD and to the Word of God, and thank you for being hungry and wanting to learn more about how to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the second part of the series called Lifestyle of Soul Winning. I believe that you have listened to the first one, and this is the second part that I want to continue regarding this lifestyle. And I pray that you all begin to develop the lifestyle of winning souls. It's important that we have this kind of lifestyle since the first day of being a Christian. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we ask you, Lord, to change us by your word, transform our mind, and cleanse our spirit with this word. Father, we believe, Lord, your word give us strength, give us power, victory, success, and understanding and insight, Father. We come to you with an open heart. We want to receive your word into our heart, and we prepare our heart as a good soil that the seed of the word will put the root deep in it and will grow to become a big tree. Father, please minister to everyone who listens to this CD teaching. And we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will work in their life, Lord, to have the heart desire and to act according to your will. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Again, there's nothing more joyful to see somebody give their life to Jesus Christ. Just before I came to this class to teach this lesson, I just got an email from Thailand that last Sunday, 4 people accepted Christ, and 1 person accepted Christ in another city in the church. An English gentleman brought in a non-Christian wife, and she gave her life to Jesus. And not only that, he was touched by God, he fell under the power, and he has back pain for quite a while, and God healed him instantly while he was on the floor. So miracle happened now in the world, and I pray that revival will come into your city. Revival will come into the area that you live. I pray that a revival will come to Taiwan. Amen. And Japan. Amen. And I pray that God will raise up either men or women who will carry the fire and the love of God to each city all over the world. And we will see the multitudes of unsaved loved ones, the souls, the lost soul come into the kingdom of God. I know one thing is that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will bring the salvation to the lost souls. No question at all. In order to be an effective soul winner, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to love the fire of God. We should not be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes in the church, we fear man. We don't want people to feel offended when the Holy Spirit is moving. But we should fear God more than man. If God wants to move, let him move. If God wants to touch you, let him touch you, fill you, you know, lead you. Because if you learn how to be filled and touched in the midst of the believers who loved you, When you go out in the field to reach out to the lost, you will not be ashamed of the working of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And you will dare to open your mouth and speak the words of God. Right now, we see we experience revival in our church in Bangkok. Last night, I heard a testimony of a about 65 years old auntie who used to do exercise on the top of the in her house. The roof is a flat place that she can go up and walk, exercise. Since she has been in revival for the past 1 year, she has been a believer only 1 year. She did not do exercise on the roof anymore. She will pray. She woke up and pray and hook up to the Holy Spirit. And then she went down to the street and prayed that God will lead her, the Holy Spirit will lead her to meet people and witness to people. She did not have any formula. Jesus went out and be led, and she was led by the Holy Spirit. Last week, she led 2 persons to Christ on the street. You know, she just was led by the Spirit of God, and this lady really loved the touch of God. Every time I went to Bangkok, she would come out to the prayer line, get touched again and again and again, and now her whole family got saved. Her 2 sons, her 2 daughters, the in-law, the grandson and granddaughter, everyone gets saved in that family. What a blessing. You see, revival, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, will bring the lost soul. I want to encourage you who listen to this CD. You may be a new believer. You may be an old believer and happen to listen to this CD. I want to encourage you to be like in the book of Acts, to imitate the book of Acts, to follow the pattern and the lifestyle of people in the book of Acts. You know, in Acts chapter 2, the church was birthed by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter stood up and preached a very simple message. But the anointing, the presence of God was so strong in his life that people hearts was cut by the word of God, and they say, what can I do? What can we do to be saved? And 3,000 people came into the kingdom of God that day. We should do the same thing. We should be the kind of people who want to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Touch, cleanse, and marinated by the Holy Spirit. And then we will go out and evangelize and witness and try to win soul by the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, like people in the early church. And the Holy Spirit will guide you what to say. He will tell you what to do. He will guide you to where to go, who you should talk to. You should be led by the Spirit of God in evangelism or soul winning ministry. Amen. If you look in the Bible, you can see that there are 2 kinds of, or 2 types of evangelism. One is, the first one is mass evangelism, and the second one is relational or personal evangelism. Both of them are good. There are some pros and cons, benefits, and some weaknesses of each approach. But again, we should welcome both types of evangelism. Like in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 to 8, Philip, who used to be a deacon, was serving in the ministry of helps in the early church, in the church in Jerusalem. He was anointed by God to be an evangelist. Remember this, if you are faithful in doing something in the church, like ushering, greeting, changing diapers, directing the traffics, worshiping, singing, leading care group, arranging the communion tray in the care group, whatever you do faithfully, one of these days, God will see your faithfulness and he can anoint you with the Holy Spirit to become an evangelist like Philip. It can happen. Acts chapter 8 verses 5 to 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. You notice the Bible did not say he preached the name of the church or organization or denomination. He preached Christ to them. Since I have been in revival, I want to talk about Jesus more than before. Several years ago, before I came into revival, I love to talk about the name of my church. But now I just want to talk about Jesus. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. They listened to him carefully, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed. So it's normal to have some noise in the church. When the evil spirit come out from people, you may hear people cry and people make some noise. So that is the New Testament meeting. And nowadays, sometimes the church is too quiet. That's nothing happened. There is only a sign on the wall that don't come in this room. But there is no sign and wonder. We need to have sign and wonder in the church. Is that right? Not just sign on the wall. Don't park here. Don't come into this room. Something like that. Amen. Crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Praise God. And there was great joy in that city. You notice that joy came with revival. Now people have joy because the goodness of God show up. Philip went into the city and preached to them. Philip did mass evangelism. It's a good way to do mass evangelism. We do on Sunday morning. We do in a special meeting. Like we may set up a special gathering and preach to the crowd. You know, crusade nowadays. Many, many evangelists would go out in the field and preach to millions of people in Africa. I hope that one day we can have a crusade in Japan. Go and preach the gospel to the crowd. Maybe have a wonderful music. Draw people in to listen to the music. And then we can preach to them. You know, when we go out and preach in public, I remember when the first day we started a church in Seattle, I took a bunch of people to Green Lake area, and we stood up on the hill in the Green Lake and began to shout and preach in front of public. It was scary, but it's good to build our boldness, to build up our boldness, because we preach to the stranger. And sometimes you can do mass evangelism in a party. We set up a party, and then in that group of people, somebody can give testimony and talk about the goodness of God, and also share the gospel to the group of people. Mass evangelism can be in funerals, you know, the funeral ceremony, on the street, or you can do in the bus. In certain countries, they don't mind that you go up and preach in a bus. I don't think you can do in America. It's illegal. So, or you can have an evangelistic Valentine Day in your care group or as a church level so that we can talk about God's love. And after that, we want to make sure that all the new converts will be followed up. We visit them, we call them, we email them, we show love to them, send gift to them, making sure that new believers will be followed up after the mass evangelism. Another kind of evangelism was also done in example in the Bible by Philip as well. In Acts chapter 8, Philip was led by the Spirit to witness to a eunuch. In Acts chapter 8 verse 29 to 35, then the Spirit said to Philip, you see, he was led by the Spirit, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. You see, God led the whole thing. God prepared the whole situation for Philip to witness to this eunuch. The place in the scripture which he read was, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Thank Jesus. Good example to us. When he was persecuted, he was not opening his mouth and argue. I need to learn that myself. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. You notice again, Philip did not preach his denomination, the name of the church, the name of his ministry. He preached Jesus to him. Notice that Philip was led by the Spirit of God. His conversation was led by the Spirit of God. I want to encourage all of you, as a servant of God, we should be studious or be diligent or industrious in studying the Word of God every single day. Listen to the reading Bible in the car. I just listened to the reading Bible in Mr. Sun's car a while ago. And it's so wonderful to listen to the Word of God. Sit and read the Bible. Fill your mind with the Word of God. You gather all the bullet, all the knife and sword to be used by the Spirit of God anytime. And once you come into the situation, the Spirit of God can pull out all those scriptures and the wisdom and the understanding and insight that you have been assimilating into your life so that God can use you anytime. Don't just go anywhere bare hand, ready to use the Word of God. Study the Word of God. That's why I love to produce this CD. You know, you can sit at home and read the Bible. Is that right? You can sit in the bus, or either read the Bible or listen to CD. But you cannot drive and read the Bible at the same time. So you can drive and listen to the preaching at the same time. How many minutes you spend time in the car a day? Some of you, especially those who live in the city where there are a lot of traffic jams, you spend 2 or 3 hours on the road. So it's a good time to listen to the Word of God, either Bible reading CD or preaching on teaching CD like this. Listen to all of them. Don't be picky. Only certain kinds, okay? Because you need to learn all kinds of things from the Bible. So God will open the door for the conversation, and then you can talk about Jesus. The Holy Spirit will simply put you in the right spot. Every day you wake up in the morning and you say, God, lead me to meet somebody. God, show me and lead me to an open door to meet somebody today. And then after you feel that God is leading you to talk to somebody, move with boldness. Don't be fearful and begin to open your mouth and speak. Amen? Amen. Don't be fearful. Fear doesn't help. But boldness will help you. Amen. You are bringing the best news in the world to people. Why you have to be shy and fearful? Just be bold to tell them, because you are trying to bring the message that will take people out of hell and put them in the eternal kingdom of God in heaven. Amen. We need to position ourselves to be available and to be ready to be used by the Holy Spirit, sensitive to His prompting, yielding to His leading. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there are certain situations in people's life that they are open to the gospel. And when you meet this kind of people, you should not let the opportunity go or disappear. Such as students who just move into town and have no friend. Or people who are sick, they tend to be more open to the gospel. Or people who just lost the loved one, that they are so desperate. Amen. Or people who just face calamities, disasters, a hurricane, tsunami, or maybe just losing the job. Something bad happened. People tend to be open because they will become humble. People who are well-to-do, have a lot of money, everything go well in their life. You just sow the seed into them. They may not be open yet, but just sow the seed because one of these days, they may be in trouble. I remember several years ago, I am Pastor Da witness to a couple named Bob and Linda. They came to our church function. We witnessed to them. They turned away. They didn't want to meet us for a long time. I think 1 or 2 years later, Pastor Da got a phone call from the wife, from Linda, say, "My family, my marriage is in trouble. Can I meet you?" Can you imagine? We were not even friends with them. But when trouble came, she ran to Christian. And both of them got saved. Their family, broken relationship was healed. They had a kid. They had a son. And now they become devout Christians. So you see, sometimes you just sow the seed, and when the right time comes, they will come back to you, or they may run to another church or to another pastor. That's okay. People don't have to come to our church. They can go to any good church around in other part of the city. Amen. But we have the job to sow the seed. Amen. And look for opportunity. We should make friends with people. Everywhere you go, remember this, you are the ambassador of Christ. Everywhere you go, remember this, you are commissioned to do the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, you need to be reconciled to God first, and you need to be reconciled to one another in the church. People need to see your love. And then when you go out into the society, into the lost world, you show Christ-like character, care about other people, benefit first, don't be selfish, don't be greedy, don't take advantage of people, loving, giving, until people see your life. And then you can bring that message of reconciliation between man and God, and they will listen to you. Sometimes God may open the door for you to talk to or spend time with your co-workers at work, your neighbors, some of your family members. But again, open your heart. Be available every single minute for God to use you to share the gospel and the love of Jesus to anybody. Don't live day by day just to make money, go to school, buying a car, having a family, have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Live day by day. That is, you know, any man, any human being can do that. Is that right? Any human being can go to school, make money, buy a car, buy a house, getting married. But we should live a life at a higher plane than that. What is a life of higher plane? The life that have a mission to go and save the lost soul, to bring as many souls as we can into the kingdom of God. Amen. Those things will come anyway. The house, the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the money, those things, God say, piece of cake. I can give you anytime. But live our life at a higher plane. Amen. So in order to be good witness, we need to really have a good relationship with Jesus. Because you are representing Jesus. You know, one day I was praying like this. Lord Jesus, please really help me. Please. I'm serious. I pray like this maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Please, Lord, help me to really, really know you personally. Know you deeply, intimately. Because how can I share about somebody I don't really know? You understand what I mean? That's why I love revival. Because in revival, when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, comes down and touches you while you're on the floor, while you're sitting on the chair. Last Sunday, a few people get touched by God. It's so beautiful, you know, because the Spirit of God is touching them, the Spirit of Jesus. So the more He touches you, the more He knows you. The same thing. If you hang, there is a high chance if a man, I just give you an example, okay? If a man is not a bad, wicked man, if you spend time, I'm talking to a lady right now, to ladies, not a lady, ladies. If you spend time with that man too much, every single day, I can guarantee you may end up loving him. You know why? Because you get to know that person. So the only way to stay away from loving somebody, I mean, I'm talking about falling in love, puppy love, and I'm not talking about agape love, is to not to be close to that person. You understand what I mean? That's one of the reasons I don't want to be close to any woman in the church at all. I don't want to spend time with any woman because I know that I can fall into sin of spiritual adultery if I spend too much time with ladies. I only spend a lot of time with only one woman in the world, that is Pastor Da. That's it. So our human nature, to know somebody, you need to spend time. And after you spend time for a while, if that person is very loving, you're going to fall in love with that person. You agree with me? Is that right? I mean, this is human nature. You know, so, therefore, we need to spend time with the Lord, reading the Bible, praying, go to church, go to care group, be touched by the Spirit of God. Anytime that you can plug into the fire of God and let the fire of God touch you, go for it. Because that is the intimate time between you and God. Amen? Just do it. Don't run away to the back of the room. Come to the front. Last Sunday, in the front room, where I was laying on of hand, the presence of God was so strong. I feel the presence of God on my body so strong. But I was thinking, why not a lot of people come to the front? I don't understand that, you know, because people don't understand that it's the intimate time with God, you know, that you can just meet Him personally. And then what you need to do is to practice what you preach. Actions speak louder than your words. You cannot witness to the non-believers very well if they see that your lifestyle is in a mess. Your lifestyle is not following what you preach or what you say, you know. If you say, oh, my God is holy, I live a holy life, but they see that you are sinning all the time, they don't want to believe in your God. So don't just have the Bible knowledge, but live a lifestyle of the disciple of Jesus Christ. Rid off all the filthy things, all the filthy language, and live your life worthy of the gospel. Amen. Now, I want to share with you quickly before I end this teaching is the scripture that we use for preaching the gospel. The content of the gospel start with who is God. God is the creator. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the creator. He created you and me, and He created the unbelievers as well. God is all-powerful, and there is nothing above Him. He is sovereign. Amen. God can do anything. He is sovereign God, all-powerful. And not only that, God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So God is love, and God's love is unconditional. It's a self-giving love, not self-seeking love. And He demonstrates that love by sending Jesus Christ, giving His life, sacrificing His life, and dying for us. God is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16 to say, Be holy, for I am holy. God is without sin. So because God is holy and righteous and just, whoever sin need to be judged, need to be punished. But because God is love, He sent Jesus Christ to pay for that penalty or judgment of sin. Amen. Now, who is man, a human being? The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the Bible says that all people around the world cannot gain God's favor through their own good deeds or efforts. We are all sinners. You know, we even pastors still having sinful nature, and we are growing day by day to become more and more like Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 verse 12, Therefore just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sin. The Bible says every single human being is a sinner. No exception. Only one person that is in the body of a man that never sinned is Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Okay, number three, talk about sin now. Talk about God, talk about man, talk about sin. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So in other words, man is a sinner, and sin means I gonna have my own way. A few days ago, God spoke to me that, Son, do you know that all the people in the world treat themselves as their own God? In other words, we all try to be God ourselves. That's happened in Genesis chapter 3. You remember when the devil told Eve, If you eat this fruit, your eyes shall be open, you will know the good and the bad, and you shall be like God. In fact, even some Christians still acting that way. I'm going to run my own life. My own way is good. I don't need to consult with God. I don't need God's plan. I'm going to manipulate people, and I'm going to do things out of my own way. You know, even Christians still do that because they still their own God. They still sit on the driving seat of their own life. You know, when God spoke to that to me two weeks ago, I repented. I said, God, I'm not going to sit on the driver's seat of my own life. If I manipulate people, if I run my own life, I never consult with you, I plan my own things, could you please forgive me? From now on, I want to follow you. You are my God. I'm not God. I'm just a creation of yours. Amen? But man always think that, I know how to handle this. I'm smart. I am capable. I am intellectual. I know how to handle my own life. I don't need God to tell me what to do. And even Christians sometimes think that way. Isaiah 59 verse 2, But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. So you can see sin separates you from God. Sin breaks your relationship that you should have with God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So sin brings death. Death includes sickness, destruction, broken relationship, poverty, curses, under demonic attack and power, and eternal separation from God in the eternal lake of fire, parenthesis, hell, H-E-L-L. So sin really separates us from God. Now what is God's plan for mankind? God knows that man is a sinner. God knows that man cannot help himself to be set free or delivered from the bondage of sin and the punishment of sin. What God did is mentioned in John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So God loved the world and he provided a way for everyone to have salvation. Amen. He sent his Son to die to pay for the penalty of sin. God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. So this is the gospel. Christ died. Christ was crucified and died. Christ was buried, and on the third day, he was raised from the dead to set us free. He did his part. What we need to do is to receive his redemptive work that he did on the cross, his power of resurrection by faith. What people need to do in order to be saved? The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So the Apostle Peter say, in order to be saved, you need to repent. And then the Holy Spirit will come and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will refresh you. Amen. So as Christian, we should be refreshed. We should be full of joy. Yesterday, one of the sisters in the church said that before a year ago, before they both are in revival and commit their life, both she and her mom committed their life in a revival church like us, like our church. When they were talking on the phone, long distance, the mom is in Asia, the daughter is here in Seattle. She said that the conversation was very full of burden, boring, and they want to hang the phone up all the time. But since they are in the revival, they laugh on the phone all the time. They have good time talking on the phone because their souls have been refreshed by the presence of God because they repent of their sin. Amen. Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So in order to be saved, you can tell the unbelievers that they need to confess with their mouth that and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and raised from the dead on the third day, and that they need to repent of their sin. Amen. I want to encourage you that don't feel bad or guilty if people don't accept Christ in front of you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that people get saved. The Holy Spirit is the one who will save people, not us. Our job is to be the mouthpiece of God. We just show love. We let people see with their own eyes how wonderful to be a child of God. And we open our mouth to speak the gospel. and God will make it happen. God will save that person. And once a person is ready, then you can lead that person in a simple prayer, such as, Dear Lord Jesus, I realize that I am a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. I believe you died and rose from the dead for me. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life and become my Lord and Savior. Help me to turn away from my old way of life and walk with you. I thank you for the new life, and I will follow you from now on. In Jesus' name, Amen. And after they pray like that, you can encourage the unbelievers who just got saved that from now on, you're going to have a new life. Jesus comes in, and Jesus will change you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So after the person gets saved, you encourage them to go to church, maybe your own church or other churches that preach the Word of God, believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and practice love. But if they can come to our church, encourage them to listen to the CD, read the Bible. I'm talking about Bible CD, teaching CD. And read the Bible and go to the care group to fellowship with other Christians and maybe find a shepherd or a mentor, spiritual helper, to look after that person for a period of time until she or he is stable in his or her walk. After that, he or she can choose to be a disciple and commit his or her life into the local church and be trained by the leadership to rise up, like all of you who sit here, that you are disciple and you learn how to evangelize and walk with God. So it's a privilege to be a soul winner. It's a privilege to be able to serve the Lord in this kind of ministry. At the end of this teaching, the Lord prompts me to read this scripture to you. Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 1 on. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. In other words, Isaiah really met the Lord, like you met the Lord in revival, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Above it stood seraphim, each one has 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. You see, the presence of God was there. The house was filled with smoke of the presence of God. Wow, what a wonderful if the smoke of the presence of God come to our church every Sunday. And the Lord show up and everyone meet God. Oh, and then the angel come and sing, Holy, holy, holy. And what happened to Isaiah when he met the Lord? So I said, Woe to me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. So in other words, revival come to Isaiah, God sent the fire of God to touch him and purge his sin away. Thank God for revival. Thank God for the fire of God. Thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that come and purge our sin away so that we can be pure, we can be pure vessels to be used by God. And then what happened next? After you are touched by the Holy Spirit. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us to Japan, to Taiwan, to Mexico, to Thailand, to Philippines, for us, for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go. Okay, I'm going to start to tell you, this is a secret of evangelism. God give him secret. Listen carefully. Go and tell these people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of these people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. So in other words, people in society, they hear, but they could not understand what you try to say to them, the gospel. They may see, but they could not perceive the goodness of God. Their hearts are hardened. That's why their ears are heavy and they don't want to listen to you. And God gives the antidote, the remedy. This is the remedy, how to evangelize. Listen carefully. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. The antidote to help the non-believers whose hearts are hardened, their ears are shut down, their eyes are closed, they don't want to see the gospel, is this. They see with their eyes. In other words, you need to live your life worthy of the gospel. If your life is in a mess, they will not open their ear to listen to you. But they see that you love the community in the church, love one another. People care for one another. People are not sinning against God. God bless you with prosperity. God heal you. They see with their own eyes. Then they open their ears and hear. And what happened? After they hear for a while, the faith comes into their heart. And then they will understand with their heart and return and be healed. I want to encourage you. The lifestyle of soul winner is a lifestyle of holiness, setting good example, walking the love walk, forgiveness, and fear God. When you fear God, you love what God loves, and you hate what God hates. Amen. And God will use you. I want to be used by God. Since the first day I accepted Jesus Christ in 1980. And I want to say, like Isaiah, here am I, send me. And I want God to use you and me in this church to touch and transform lives by the power of the Holy Spirit that He has given to us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe that this teaching has blessed you and has transformed your life. And I pray that whatever God has spoken through my mouth today, it will be attached to your heart, and God will remind you again and again with these words that He has spoken in this teaching. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much for the opportunity to learn your word. Father, we are so thankful for touching our life with the love of Jesus, with the gospel, and sending the fire of God into your church. Father, cleanse us, purge sins from our life. Help us to walk in holiness and righteousness so that people, especially the unbelievers who observe our life, will open their ear to hear the gospel, and their hearts will be, Lord, understanding, and they shall return to you and be healed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I see you next time. And thank you again for tuning in and listening to this lesson. God bless you. Pastor Da and I believe that God has the best thing in store for all of you, and you will be used of God. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.